Right. This is the second time that I'm trying to record this episode. I recorded another version of it last week, but I was listening back to it and I was just bored, and it's made me really insecure because now I'm concerned that every single one of my episodes has been boring. So I'm having a little bit of like a crisis at the moment, but that's okay. It's been a minute. How have you all been going? How has your week been? How's work? How's life? How's your mental health? Oh my gosh. What was that? All right. I just want to apologize in advance for all of the random noises that you are going to be hearing probably in the background of this podcast. I would do anything to have good quality sound, no noise in the background, except for sweat my ass off, except for die in this heat. I'm here in Queensland, Australia. It is getting hot. Like, you can tell it's coming into summer. And one of the major downfalls of the home that I live in is that I don't have fans or air conditioning. So the only way I can get any form of airflow in this house is to have all of the windows open. And even then, it's an absolute hellhole. Like, it actually feels like I'm crawling down into the depths of hell. It's so hot. So I'm not looking forward to that aspect of this podcast in the future. Let me know if you like that. But as usual, let's jump into some weekly updates. I think it's been like 2 weeks now since I last recorded. So I have a bit more than a week to update you on. However, my life is not that exciting. So as I said, it's been hella hot, especially yesterday. We had a public holiday and it was, I swear, it was like 32 degrees. So hot, so sweaty. My car doesn't have air conditioning either. So my whole life is just a big hot box. It's insane. I don't know how I'm going to survive this summer, but I've been going to the beach a lot for the past couple of weekends and it has been absolutely incredible. I'm a beach baby. I'm a water baby. I belong at the beach. It is my happy place. It makes me feel at peace. I just want to spend all day in the sun, all day in the water. If I could live on the beach, dream come true, I would be content for the rest of my life. Love it so much. And it's just so nice to be back by the water and to enjoy the summer sun. Although it's not summer sun yet, it's spring sun, but it's been so nice to enjoy it. Oh, I no longer look like a witchy grub. Like, I'm starting to get a little bit of color back into my skin. So that's been quite lovely as well. I had my therapy session. I've been going on about it for the past two episodes. I finally had my therapy session. Loved it. It was incredible. I think I'm going to be committing to monthly therapy sessions with her from now on. For the moment, just because it fits in within my budget and I don't really feel like I need more than once a month at this point. Like, she gave me a lot of practical things to do in my own time, but that was amazing. Like, she was very good at, I guess, connecting like emotions that seem to keep on coming up in my life with my past, specifically with the, I guess, somewhat trauma that I went through when my mom was really, really sick. So that was really, really interesting and just very eye-opening for me. And I definitely left that session feeling so much lighter. She did a tapping exercise as well. I don't know the science behind tapping. I do know there have been a lot of studies behind it or on it, but I don't know enough to confidently tell you. Research it. It's very interesting. She went through these exercises where I tap on different parts of my body. So, like, she made me tap my forehead for a bit, my temple, across my cheekbone, and then on my chest. And while I was doing this over and over again, I would say, I let this go. It's okay to let this go. This feeling no longer serves me. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't even know how to say it. All I can say is I left it feeling so much lighter and more free. And just overall, I've been feeling a lot better than what I have been, which is a relief. Because that was not a fun thing to be feeling. Yeah, I thought I'd give a little bit of a bucket list update. You guys are meant to be my accountability partners with achieving things this year. And I made a bucket list and I want to achieve it. So I thought I'd go through the things, how I'm going with it all. I've bought a Halloween costume and I'm very excited because I've also I'm also planning to go to a Halloween party. Whether that goes ahead, I don't know. COVID and all the random lockdowns, like, nothing is certain, but even if we're in lockdown, my partner and I will dress up in our Halloween costumes and take cute photos and eat ice cream or something. So I can pretty much, I've committed to the costume, I've bought it, so I can pretty much tick the dressing up for Halloween thing off my bucket list. I tried bangs. We all know how that went, but I can tick that off my list. At least I gave it a go. Reading a book every month is not going as well as I thought. I've read one book since I made that bucket list, like 3 months ago. I think my problem is I'm really trying to commit to reading very information-heavy books. And a lot of the spare time that I have that goes towards reading is while I'm at work. And I find that I cannot read these information-heavy books while I'm at work because I'm not fully invested in what I'm reading. I'm not focusing 100% on what I'm reading because I'm keeping an eye out for customers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I finally picked up like this little lighthearted fiction book. It was called The Art of Getting Undressed. It really didn't add that much value to my life whatsoever. I probably won't keep it. Like, it wasn't a bad book. I just wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Like, it just, I mean, I don't know, maybe some people will benefit from it. It was just like a very, very lighthearted random fiction novel, but at least I read a book. I can still, I think, fit in 5 more books by the end of the year. So that's where I am. I haven't done much more yet. The runway that I was meant to be walking on at the end of this year got cancelled due to COVID. I think I mentioned that before. So that whole thing has been crossed off my list just because where I'm at now within my modeling career, I don't know of many runways that will be going ahead, as well as runways that will be hiring models of my height. And yeah, that's pretty much why. I just don't want to get my hopes up. So I'm just going to take that off my list, but that's okay. There's still so much more to achieve and I'm excited. And yes, let's jump right in to the episode. The juice of the episode. All right, so today I wanted to talk about the advice that I would give my younger self. I love listening to the advice that people would give to their younger selves, specifically when it's like people who are in their 80s or 90s and they're just sharing stuff that they've learned throughout their incredible lifetime. I just think there's so much that you can learn from other people in their lives. I must say though, no matter how many times I hear other people's advice about things, it takes me making a million mistakes to learn that and apply that to my own life, but that doesn't matter. I like hearing it nonetheless. So yeah, I just thought it would be a nice lighthearted episode. I have been thinking a lot about my childhood, I think, especially because, you know, of this therapy session and talking a lot about my childhood and, you know, feelings and experiences that I might have buried. It's definitely brought up just a lot of thinking surrounding all the stages of life that I've been through. And whilst thinking about, you know, these fun little stages, there's been a lot of little epiphanies, so I thought that it would be fun to share that with you all. Before I dive into the actual advice, I thought I'd share the different stages of my life because it gives a bit more context and, you know, you'll see. So we start off right at the beginning. I call this first stage of my life Fetus Rainer, OG Rainer. This is like from the age of, well, I guess fetus to around 10 years old. Although we will sort of be talking mainly like from the age of like 2 to 10, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't remember much of my time as an infant. How crazy is it there are actually people out there who remember what it was like to be in a womb? That's insane to me. I call these the golden years. Well, not the golden years, but I love this stage of my life. I was such an innocent little being. I was happy, so bubbly, so outgoing, so sure in myself, so confident, so strong will. You know, I was a show pony, A massive show pony. I wanted to perform in front of anyone and everyone who would pay attention to me. I was the main character, and I knew it. I remember that this was where my passion for music and singing sort of started. My mum was in Bible college, and she was in a choir, and I used to sing in the choir with her. I'd sing the harmonies of whoever was holding me at the time, and I really attribute that to, like, the birth. I believe that was the birthing place of my passion for music, and also probably why I think I can pick up harmonies and just musical things quite quickly, because I was exposed to it at such a young age. I loved dancing. I'm not saying I was good at it, but I loved dancing. During Christmas, our street was like known for having incredible fairy lights on our houses. And when all of these strangers were walking up and down the street, my friends and I would perform Christmas dances and singing performances to the masses. And eventually, in like 2 years into our Christmas performer career, we started putting hats out on the driveway, and we earned up to like $100 per night, which is a lot for little kids. It was definitely a very fun experience. I was a bit of a business savvy queen. My friends and I started our own detective agency at school. We started our own magazine company. I even emailed a saddle company. It was like a pet slash horse magazine. I emailed a saddle company from my email, rainprincess@hotmail.com, and asked them to sponsor us. They never got back to me for some reason. I find it quite offensive, but That's okay. I had my own dog walking business. I'd sell toys and soft drinks out the front of my house during the day. I was a businesswoman. I also started writing songs at around probably like 6 or 7. I remember I was writing songs quite consistently when mum was in hospital. So it probably was around 6 or 7. I don't know how I started. I don't know how I learnt. I don't think anyone taught me. I think I just had a dream of being a superstar, and I thought they wrote their own songs, and that's what I wanted to do as well. So then we move on to the next stage of my life. I call this the what the fuck is that, Raina. This is the stage of cringe. I feel like everyone, you may deny it, but everyone goes through a stage of their life that is just, there's just not much positive about it. It's embarrassing. It's cringy. It's just not, doesn't highlight the best moments of your life. So this stage of my life is probably from like the age of 10 to 14. This was when I started to get very awkward. Physically, very awkward. I was going through puberty. You know how that is. I was also like going through it before any of my friends. So they were all like still very small, like still looked like little girls. And I was here with like boobs and hips. It just looked very weird. I started to grow very self-conscious throughout this time in my life. And I slowly started to become more and more quiet. Like that fiery, sassy Raina that once wasn't really there anymore. I was very anxious, very quiet. Like people struggled to hear me talk. I didn't like making new friends. It was like very, very sad and depressed and anxious all the time, but also had a God complex and thought that I was better than everyone else. Weird mix. I don't know. I was obsessed with being beautiful, obsessed with male validation, obsessed with boys. Very moody, but still like a bit of a dreamer, had big dreams for my life and, you know, wanted to do a lot with it. I remember I loved making movies and music videos and writing scripts and all that kind of stuff. I was very much very creative, and I loved having an idea and seeing it come to life. I also entered the world of YouTube beauty tutorials. So I would stay up to like 3 a.m. watching smokey eye tutorials and hairstyle tutorials. And I would go to school rocking this weird beehive ponytail and a bun that looked like a bow on the top of my head. I loved it. And I was the makeup girl. I was the makeup friend. There's always that one friend in friendship groups that does everyone's makeup when they go out somewhere, when they film music videos, all that kind of jazz. I was the makeup friend. One of my key and most embarrassing memories from this time in my life was my walk. Very niche, random thing to be insecure about, I know. Here's the thing. There was this one afternoon where I was walking to the library at school, and the crush of the moment, Oliver, was walking behind me, and he was like, "Hey, Raina, like, are you a model?" And instantly I was like, holy crap, like, this man thinks that I'm a model. You may remember me talking about in this in like a previous episode, but at this stage in my life was when I started to grow an interest in modeling and I really wanted to be a model. So when he said this to me, like, my heart lit on fire and I thought that he was in love with me. I thought he was the hottest human on earth. I thought that I had potential to live my dreams. And I turned around and I was like, oh my gosh, no, like, why would you think that? So weird. And he was like, oh, because you walk like one. And so, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I need to make sure I keep this up. And so I overdid it. I stepped over the line. There's a fine line between having a nice, you know, hip swaying sort of walk and strutting your stuff, looking like a weird, awkward gazelle. I leaped over that line. I strutted my stuff like I was some Victoria's Secret model walking throughout the school. It was my moment. It was my moment to shine. All eyes were on me, not for the right reasons, let me tell you. And I think that lasted for like 3 years. It's quite humiliating. I remember people would always be like, "Raina, walk for us." Like, "Raina, oh my gosh, walk for us." And I thought that they were like, "Girl, bitch, you are hot as hell." But I'm pretty sure they were all laughing at me. Even my friends were like, "Raina, like, what the frick? Like, do you run like that?" And so I'd put on like this little prancy run with like my legs crossing over each other. So, so dumb. Anyways, moving on. That gives you a picture of what I was like at that age. Then we enter 15, around 15 to like 20 years old. This is a long phase of my life. This is the too much, Raina. I started homeschooling when I was around 15 years old. And for me, this was like a massive fresh start. I'd always been very insecure about the fact that I had adopted a quieter personality. I think I knew deep down that it wasn't my true self. Like, it wasn't me, but I didn't know how to break out of that, especially because all the people that I went to school with and everyone who knew me sort of had that idea of me being the quiet girl in their mind. And oh my gosh, like, you guys probably know, it is so hard to break out of like first impressions or people's impressions of who you are. So when I started homeschooling, to me it was like this massive exciting thing because no one knew who I was. I can create a whole new identity for myself. And so that's what I did. I completely overdid it. Like, I forced myself to become more outgoing and more happy and bubbly and just over the top. And it didn't feel fake. Like, I didn't feel like I was faking it, but I was definitely overcompensating, I think, to cover like the sadness and the insecurity that I was feeling inside. I was very embarrassed about how insecure and sad I was. I didn't want anyone to know that. I think I also had a bit of an obsession with like very loud, confident celebrities. Like, this was around the era of like Little Mix and Jennifer Lawrence, and within like Little Mix and, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and all of these other celebrities, like that cool girl trope, that like quirky, loud girl who loves to eat and, you know, has like a great sense of humor. That was in. Like, everyone was obsessed with those people, and I was obsessed with those people. And I wanted so badly to fit into that bubble. Like, that is how I wanted people to view me. And so that's who I became. I remember I even went as far as to like Google how to be like Jennifer Lawrence or how to be like Perry Edwards. You know, these articles went into like how they dressed, how they looked, how they acted, you know, their personality, all that kind of stuff. And I emulated everything that I could, which I just think is very interesting. It's funny because like so much of how I was acting was, I guess, like, it did have an aspect of me in that. Like, I do relate a little bit to how I was back then. But at the same time, like, I wasn't embracing the fact that I am actually quite a sensitive person and I can be quiet sometimes. And, like, yeah, I'm an extrovert, but I also have a lot of, I mean, I consider myself an ambivert, maybe. Like, I have moments where I do not want to be around people, and that is okay. But to me, like, that wasn't cool and that wasn't likable. And so I completely rejected that part of myself. I also became vegan at this time, all because of like ethical reasons. I'd always loved animals, always wanted to be vegan. This was like the stage of my life where I was very religious, just very, very conservative in my beliefs. And I've definitely evolved since then, but this was like probably the most religious era of my lifetime. I went to Bible college when I graduated. So I think I was probably like 18 or 19 when I started Bible college. Fully thought that I was going to work in like a church as like a worship pastor or something like that. It didn't turn out that way, obviously. I've realized pretty like maybe a year down the track that it wasn't for me. Before I started Bible college, I felt quite close to God. And then when I started it, I just felt like this weird spiritual disconnect. It was almost like I was comparing myself and my spiritual journey and my relationship with God with all of my other, what are the words? My other classmates. But I compared myself to everyone else and, again, was just very, very over the top. I was very insecure about my voice and my musical ability. I felt like no one really recognized that I had a passion or a talent for music. I was invisible when it came to music and singing and all that kind of stuff. And I felt like I was invisible when it came to being spiritual or being like a leader and all of that kind of stuff. And the only thing that really I felt got me noticed was my personality and my bubbliness and my happiness. And so again, I just like overdid it. And you know, I talked about in my last episode, I think, that I was going through an eating disorder at this time. So again, I was just like overcompensating to cover that. Yeah, it was definitely like the most dramatic era of my life. There was a lot of boy drama, a lot of mental health drama, a lot of friend drama, 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 drama central. And then probably between the ages of like 21 to 22 years old, I would say, I really started to, I guess, step into the light. I would say that sounds so cheesy. I never want to say that again. But yeah, I really did just, the shades had lifted. And I guess I really started to discover myself. I really started to discover what I believed in. I started to heal. I started to learn to love myself. I started to mellow out a bit. And I guess I like stepped away from Bible college and church mainly because of COVID. But that just like stepping out of that bubble did a lot for me. I really started to become honest with what I believed in and how I felt about certain things regarding God and faith and all that kind of stuff. Really just started to discover myself, like what I did and didn't like, how I felt about things, what my personality was. And I started to become honest with others about that. Like, I stopped trying to hide certain parts of myself. I accepted every single aspect of me and I started to become true to myself. And that was so freeing. I moved out of home, became more independent, developed a better relationship with my family. And yeah, it sort of leads me to where I am now. I'm still learning who I am. I'm still growing. I still have a long way to go. But ultimately, like, I'm so much more confident and sure in myself. And what I find very interesting is that the more that I feel like I'm stepping into who I actually am, the more that I am turning into like that fetus Raina, that first stage of my life Raina, the confident, sassy, freaking diva, like that Raina. I'm becoming more like her, but obviously with a little bit more maturity, a few little changes. That's what happens when life shapes you. But like the essence of who I am is sort of becoming more like the essence of baby Raina. And I find that so fascinating. I think it speaks volumes on like how society shapes us and how I really conditioned, I guess. I really do think that like our child self is like the truest form of who we are, because that was who we were before society and shitty life experiences changed us. And I'm not saying that change is bad. Obviously, it brings maturity, it brings grit and persistence and strength, like, there's, I'm not, like, I don't think the things we go through are bad. I think there's positives that come out of everything. But, yeah, the core of who we are, I think, always is the same when we are at our healthiest and truest selves. Just a random thought there. But yeah, that's pretty much like my life in a nutshell. So let's jump into the juicy advice portion. All right, so it was kind of hard for me to think of advice because so much of what I went through, as I said, made me who I am now. And so a lot of the initial advice that came into my head was like, don't talk to this boy, or don't spend 35 grand on Bible college because you'll regret it. But I don't think I would tell myself to not do those things because I wouldn't be dating the person I am now. I wouldn't be who I am now. I just wouldn't. I don't think that it would benefit me in the long run. Even like the embarrassing little outfits and hairdos and stuff that I used to wear, in a way, like, that was just me expressing myself. And although it's cringy and the photos are absolutely despicable, that was, I'm proud of myself for discovering my style and myself and being confident enough to do it. Go me. But I did eventually come up with around 6 things that I would tell my younger self and just tell the younger generation in general that I think is helpful information, helpful advice. So number 1, respectfully, men ain't shit. And I mean this in the nicest way possible. Look, there are a lot of men in my life that I respect, that I love, that are genuinely good, kind-hearted, wonderful people. However, back in the day, I based my worth and I got validation from what men thought of me. And that is something that I deeply regret and that I don't want any woman to do ever. Something I randomly remembered the other day was that when I was, gosh, it was like throughout all of my teen years, but I was, as I said, quite insecure about the fact that I had a very different body type to my friends. Growing up in the 2000s era was just an absolute hellhole for teenage girls. Like women, and I know anorexia is not a body type, however, there were women, like high-profile women with eating disorders, whose bodies were praised and considered the ideal body type. It was beautiful to be completely just super-duper thin, and there was no space for diversity or beauty in any other body type whatsoever, if that makes sense. There was a cookie-cutter shape. You had to fit into it, otherwise you weren't attractive. Anyways, I was very insecure. Getting back to the storyline here. And one thing that my mom used to always tell me, and it still sticks in my brain, she used to always say that men found my body type more attractive, or men liked women with meat on their bones, or men liked curves, however you want to say it, something along those lines. And I know my mom meant well. However, despite the fact that, one, not even true, like every single human being on this planet has a different preference regardless of their gender. Like there will be men who do prefer women who are curvier. There will be men who don't. And that's totally fine. Like it's just a preference. Don't even get mad about it. You have a preference as well. Don't act like you don't. So yeah, obviously that was problematic. Second of all, it was very, and I don't know if this is because my mom did have an eating disorder, but she was very critical of women who were skinny. And I do think that came from her own hurt and wounding and all that kind of jazz. The most problematic thing of all for me was that it really ingrained in my head that I was beautiful and worthy because men thought I was beautiful and worthy. And I'd never even been aware of this until like last week, and it was such like a massive epiphany for me. And I just think it's so sad because from then on, everything I did, everything I wore, in the back of my mind was to please men and to get validation from men. And I just think that's, not only is it sad, but it's also very dangerous. Like, I was only, what, like 10, 11, 12 years old when this all started. And like, why am I trying to please grown men? That's just very weird to me. You know, I used to go out with my friends, you know, to dinner and all that kind of stuff. And if a man, always an adult man, hit on me, a child, I felt so beautiful and attractive and validated and affirmed. It made me feel so good about myself. But if I went out and it was like a night where I didn't get hit on, or I didn't get looked at, or one of my friends got hit on and not me, it would completely destroy my confidence and I would go home crying. I don't know. Obviously, this is a massive society thing. I think it's how a lot of women have been conditioned. Like, I think a lot of women believe that their beauty lies in what men think of them. But it's so sad and it's so not true. Like, our worth lies way outside what a man thinks of us, what any person thinks of us. We're inherently worthy simply because we exist. But our beauty isn't based on what men think of us. And our goal in life should not be to please men or be attractive to men. Like, why? I just want to shake myself and give myself a massive hug and tell myself that, like, men don't define your worth. For years and years and years, like up until just maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I went out of my way to be pleasing to like the male gaze. I needed to be liked by men. And if I liked a guy, he needed to like me back. And I would allow him to walk all over me because I wanted to please him. And there's so much I could say about this topic, but pretty much just to sum it all up, your worth doesn't lie in what men think of you. Men's opinions of you literally means nothing. Your opinion of yourself matters so much more. Just change your mindset. Anyways, that would be a great podcast episode, actually. Anyway. Second little piece of advice that I have is that patience and persistence ultimately pays off in the end. Sometimes your dreams and the things that you want take a lot of time, but it's so worth it. You can have a dream, you can have a thought, you can have an idea, but unless you put the work in and the time in, note time, it doesn't happen overnight, nothing's going to happen. I feel like when I was younger, I gave up on things so quickly because I wasn't seeing results fast enough, or I was scared of what people thought of me, or I doubted myself. And sometimes I just wonder where I would be now if I stuck with that YouTube channel I started, or if I continued ice skating. I think I just tell myself to keep on pushing through and to keep on working and persisting and following after the things that I want in life. I do have a few regrets that I gave up so easily back then. My third piece of advice is to be more present. I think it's great to dream, but if you're living in the future, like, that's not doing anything for you and you're wasting so much of what you're experiencing now. I feel like I lived in my dreams. I lived in my dream world. I would imagine myself being a famous singer. I would imagine myself dating this attractive guy. I would imagine myself being rich or all of this stuff. I would live in the future and not be present. I wasn't enjoying the now. I was just constantly worried about, like, what step should I take next? And how do I achieve the things that I want to? And worrying about whether I was going to get things done or not. And I wasn't present and I didn't enjoy the years that I had back then. So yeah, I would definitely tell myself to be more present and stop worrying about the future, because whatever's meant to happen is going to happen. Obviously, like, you know, work on things and get better at things and, like, try hard, but stop stressing over every little detail. Like, things will happen when they're meant to happen, how they're meant to happen. Tip number 4 is to listen to your gut. I don't really have too much to say on this one. I just think that all of us are born with intuition. Trust yourself. Trust yourself more. Listen to your gut. Looking back now, every single time you have felt
wrong about something or you felt off or you felt like you should follow a certain path, you have always been right. Advice number 5, this is another short one, but tell your mom and dad that you love them more. Honestly, I feel really bad for my parents. Like a lot of it had to do with like my mental health, but I was very, very moody. And I had a very, very up and down relationship with my parents, specifically my mom. And it wasn't until this year that I really started to get really close to them. And I just love my parents so much. I appreciate them so much. They're honestly two of my favorite humans in the whole world. And they do so much for you. They sacrifice so much for you. Tell them that you love them more and that you appreciate them more. And the last one is to stop deleting photos of yourself just because you think you're ugly in them. I'm so angry at my past self for this. I have like no photos of like my teen years specifically, except for ones where I'm posing like an idiot because I thought that I was a freaking supermodel back in the day. But my supermodel pose was like, you know when girls used to do the duck lips and like look up to the side? That was my pose. Oh my gosh, random flashback. I used to go on Yahoo Answers and I would literally, you know when you could like ask questions on Yahoo and people would answer? It was kind of like Quora, I think that's how it's pronounced, or like Reddit. I would go on there and I would post these ugly selfies of myself and I would be like, hey guys, like, do you think that I'm a model or do you think I'm pretty? Like, nah, 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 nah. And I'd get people to like tell me if they thought I was a model or thought that I was attractive and stuff like that. That makes me laugh so much. So embarrassing. But stop deleting photos of yourself. There are so many memories that like I'm missing out on because I deleted them. Like even I remember specifically when we went to the beach with my family, I would sneak my mom's phone or sneak her camera and I would delete every single photo that I am in. And it's so sad, especially now, like looking back, like I probably would look back and I didn't even look as bad as what I thought I did. But also like, I'm not sending these photos to modeling agencies. Like they're there for the memories, for the, just for the fun memes, and they're all gone. So yes, I would definitely tell myself to not delete everything. So yeah, that is pretty much all of the advice that I would give myself. I also went onto my podcast Instagram at That's So Candid Pod if you want to follow me, and I asked some people on there what some advice is that they would give their younger selves. So let's have a sneaky little read. Number 1, this is from Eric. He says to invest in that skincare routine. Oh my gosh, good skin doesn't last at all. So true. I had the worst skincare routine back in the day. I had severe acne and I used to fight that or try to fight that with like witch hazel, benzoyl peroxide, no moisturizer, no sunscreen because I was so scared of breaking out. And I probably looked like the Krusty Krab. Like I was dry as hell, I was flaky, and I was making my skin break out so much more. And like, I'm so glad that I was still fairly young when I jumped onto like a good skincare routine. But honestly, the earlier the better. If you want to have good skin when you're old, it's all about preventative methods. You can't like treat your skin like shit and then get to like 50 years old and be like, oh my gosh, like now I have wrinkles, I have so much sun damage, blah, 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 what do I do? It's like, now that that's there, like the only way you're going to get rid of that is through like really expensive procedures. Start early. Preventative measures. Steph said, don't lie to your parents. They will definitely find out no matter how sneaky you think you're being. That's definitely true. Parents have this weird little sixth sense. They just know things about their kid. I think it's because they know you so well. Like they probably know you better than anyone else knows you except for yourself. And so they can see, like everyone knows when you're lying, everyone has a tell. Everyone has a tell when they're lying or when they're doing something sneaky or doing something they shouldn't be. And your parents know what your tell is. They can tell when you're acting different. They can sense the vibes that something is off. And they definitely always know when something is off. Sarah says to read more. I definitely agree. I wish I read more as well. I think you can learn so much from reading. I think it's really good for your brain to read more. It's good for your imagination, good for creativity. I've always loved reading, but when I was a teenager, I thought that it was nerdy. For some reason, reading or just being smart especially as a girl. Did anyone else pretend that they were super dumb because they thought that boys would think it was cute? That was like my thing. I honestly pretended I was so dumb and people would call me crunchy at school because I was a brunette but blonde on the inside. How? I'm not going to go into that. Next one's from Emily and she says, enjoy your youth. It ends faster than you want it to. That ties in really well with be more present. I think you said it so well. Enjoy your youth. These are like such fun and exciting years of your life. Once you turn 18, you have freaking bills to pay. You have groceries to buy. You have decisions to make. It's so much more stressful. I really wish that I hadn't tried to grow up so fast. I really wish that I had just enjoyed my time as a youth. Next one is from Lauren. And she says, your choices belong only to you and no one else. I think that's so beautiful. I love that. I definitely relate to that as well. I think especially being raised a Christian, like a lot of the decisions that I made was very much based on how I thought other Christians would perceive it. Or I did what I thought everyone else would want me to do or what I thought I should do. And you know, it's important that we learn that we have autonomy, I guess, over our bodies and over our decisions, and we don't need to prove that or explain that to anyone. Yes. All right. I'm going to stop that there. I have some things that I need to do. I want to go for a walk before it gets super dark, so I won't read anymore. But thank you so much for listening in. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. Guys, if you like this podcast and you want to help support me, I would really appreciate it if you guys left a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's very, very, it's like the like and subscribe button on a YouTube channel for podcasts. Ratings and reviews help get my podcast out there to the masses, to the world, and I would also just love to hear your feedback. I'd love to have some ideas on podcast episodes. I'd love to know what you would like to hear from me. You can find me on any social media platform at Raina Carice. My podcast Instagram is That's So Candid Pod. I update all things podcast related on there. I ask all the questions, all the things on that little page. But yes, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you guys have an incredible week, and I will see you or talk to you next time. Bye.